There is a debate raging at public schools across the country about what kind of books children should see in libraries. The effort to ban titles about sexuality, race, and gender has hit a fever pitch. Librarians and teachers are quitting. Parents are shouting about the future of democracy, or that pornography is masquerading as memoir inside local schools. Today, we're going to have a conversation with two moms who have very different views. First, Tiffany Justice. She lives in Florida and is co-founder of Moms for Liberty, a group that fights for parent rights and has seen its membership and influence soar in recent months. I asked Tiffany why she had a problem with some books in the library.
You know, what parents found with some of the books that were on public school library shelves was, first of all, there was a lot of sexual violence. And they were concerned it was normalizing some of this sexual violence in some of these books. But there was really no transparency or accountability. And I think that was the piece that parents were most concerned about. When they would come to these school board meetings and they would read some of the excerpts from the books, first of all, their mic would be cut off. And someone would say, oh, you can't read that here. There are children here, or this is being broadcast and you can't read that. And the parents would say, don't you see the irony in that? That I can't read this book at a school board meeting or post it on social media because it'll be censored. They'll say it's obscene, but that it's on a library shelf.
And what books are you referring to specifically with the depiction?
It depends on, I think there are some books that we've seen come up time and time and time again. And honestly, at this point now, I think the job is for every parent to go into their local school district and take a look at the books that are in the libraries that their children have access to, and to make sure that none of those books are violating state statute. And that could be obscenity laws or other things.
Listen, I've looked at some of the books that people have been protesting. One of the most controversial ones, I'm sure that you've heard of it, it's called Gender Queer. In some cases, there are, in fact, graphic images that depict sex. It's a graphic novel. But the supporters of this book, and there are many, say that doesn't make it pornography. That doesn't make it a depiction of sexual violence. It's a book that helps people make sense of the feelings and the confusion that they're having around their own gender identity.
Okay. And I say, write the books, print the books, publish the books, put the books in the public library and provide that book to your child. But the state does not have the right to free speech. We don't put Penthouse in schools. We don't put Hustler in schools. We don't allow unfettered access to the internet.
That book is not Penthouse. It's not Hustler. I mean, just it isn't.
And I say to all of your audience members, they should absolutely pick up a copy of that book and take a look at it. And you let me know if you think it belongs in an elementary school library.
No, I understand. In fact, the author of the book says it shouldn't be in an elementary school library. And if this
is
about parental control over what kids see in school, why not just take control as a parent and make it very clear to your kids what kind of behavior you expect from them while they're at school?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you there. And I think if we're talking about high school students, of course they're going to have access to different content. But I don't let my 5-year-old play the same video game that I let my 14-year-old play.
And yet, whether we like conversations about sex, gender, some parents aren't talking to their kids about this. And kids are feeling so desperate in some cases that they're killing themselves because they don't have an outlet to learn about these things. So what if we don't have access to books like this? What happens to those kids?
So, Peter, do you think that books in a library are keeping a child from killing themselves? Honestly.
Libraries are powerful, powerful places that change worlds.
Correct. But if we are looking at the issues that the children of America are facing, if we are really looking and we want to take a hard look at the mental health of the children in America, again, I ask you, this is the fight to keep genderqueer in the library?
Well, you know very well that this debate is getting tough. It is getting threatening in some places. You know, we spoke to a librarian in Idaho who said that a local group was so upset about some of these books, not even being on the shelves, but about the possibility of them being on the shelves because they didn't have them. She said that people are declaring biblical war on her library. She had to quit because she felt so threatened. What responsibility do you think you have?
We condemn any violence towards anyone. These are issues that every community is grappling with right now. And Moms for Liberty is about building relationships because we're getting people elected to school boards around the country. And we know that they're going to have to work with constituents and build relationships. We want effective advocates and effective policymakers. I think this book issue has just been sometimes used and weaponized to kind of divide us. And I don't think that that's the way forward.
Tiffany Justice is co-founder of the group Moms for Liberty. Thank you for taking some time and talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
So that is one view from Florida. Now let's go to a parent in Texas, the state with the highest number of challenged books in the country, including a graphic novel adaptation of The Diary of Anne Frank. Lainey Hawes is not a member of a parent activist group. She is a mom with four kids in Fort Worth. Lainey, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
The Keller Independent School District, where your kids go to school, has been right at the center of all this because earlier this year, district officials began a review of a list of 41 books that parent groups wanted taken off the shelves. What has the atmosphere been like over the past few months at your schools?
Oh, the atmosphere has been hostile, to say the least. School board meetings have become outrageously intense. We have police officers at our meetings, ready to escort people out if needed. We have lots of screaming, lots of yelling, but hostile is probably the best word I would use to describe it.
The review of those books, it's ongoing, but I just wonder, you know, do you have concerns over any of them? I mean, what was your impression of that?
Yeah, well, my greatest concern is that all 41 of these books were actually challenged last spring, and they went through a district approved review process. They voted to put all of the books back on library shelves to some degree or another. And then we got a new school board with a really strong hyper-partisan agenda. They were backed by multiple PACs, and they decided that they did not like the results of the book challenge committees, and they overturned all 41 outcomes. And they said that now these books must be re-reviewed according to the standards that we set. And they had created a rubric of standards that are based in some very narrow conservative ideologies. My concern is that these books are being reduced to a checklist, and they need to be looked at as a whole and to what value they offer society and our children. So yeah, I do not believe that all 41 of these books are appropriate for all children. And it's really important that we as parents make that decision for our own children and not for other people's children.
So, you know, I just spoke with a person from the group Moms for Liberty. Now, parent groups that you've just described this, they've been very influential on school boards, getting these kind of reviews underway. What's your take on the power that they've had influencing the debate in places like Texas where you are?
To me, it's terrifying that we have outside groups coming into our local school districts and trying to push a specific agenda. I'm very supportive of parents getting involved and community members getting involved at the district level. I think that's really important. I think that's what we need to be doing. But when these outside groups that are funded with millions of dollars come into our small school districts and have that much pull, and then ultimately, we have a school board that now answers to political money rather than the kids in our communities. I'm terrified of what that means.
You were raised in a conservative family, I understand. Does your background give you at all a better understanding of the concern that some of these parents have over these books?
Absolutely. I was definitely raised conservative. Yeah, and I understand where a lot of these parents are coming from. In fact, this discussion of these books has made my husband and I sit down and say, hey, would we feel appropriate if our 12-year-old read this, or our 9-year-old, or our 14-year-old? And he and I have had these really in-depth discussions, and what we've realized is that some books would be appropriate for some of our children, and those exact same books might not be appropriate for a different child. And I think there's room here to have these discussions about how we can make sure that these books are available to students who need them, you know, and that we aren't taking away that opportunity for everyone.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit more. If your 14-year-old comes to you one day and says, Mom, you know what? I have questions about what queer means or what it means to be gay. Do you let them read the books that might have explicit content in them? I mean, how are you handling those conversations at home?
That's a really good question because it happens, right? I have four children ranging in ages 6 to 14. One thing my husband and I have found is that the best way to answer their questions and have conversations about difficult topics, topics that we don't personally understand, is in books. My kindergartner last year asked me a question about something, and we ended up reading the book I Am Jazz together, and it introduced her to what it means to be trans. And it was the perfect opportunity to talk to a kindergartner in the most basic, simple ways what it means to be trans. But yeah, if our kids have questions, we're going to give them the information. Because if we don't, they're going to go get it somewhere else.
Where do you think all of this is going? I mean, I can hear the energy in your voice. I can hear how passionate you are. And yet this issue is far from settled.
Yeah.
Where do you think it's going?
It's a really good question. It doesn't seem that either side is willing to back down. I know that we have some Supreme Court precedent as to what books can be removed from schools. And that was PICO, a Supreme Court case in the 80s. I believe this could go as far as back to the Supreme Court. And I believe there are quite a few people who would like to see that happen. For example, our school board has hired an outside attorney to represent them in these issues. And I think they are prepared for a battle as long as it will take.
Sounds like maybe you are too. Lainey Hawes, mom
yes,
from
I
Fort
am.
Worth, Texas. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.